My note to you this week, I told you that for the next couple of weeks, we'll just either I use something from the lectionary or we do something else. So I chose the lectionary to work from this week. The lectionaries have a lot of common this time. It's not obvious. There's a passage from Ezekiel, but if you read it properly, as I'm trying to teach some of you to read it in a way and find the metaphors in them, you'll see the connection better. For example, in the Ezekiel passage, you're still talking about, it's a parable. It's a parable, and they talk about, you know, the trees and sowing and so forth. In the psalm reading for the, it also has that message about planting the palm trees and bearing fruits. The Corinthians, the epistle passage, is also talking about that we should plant. As new creation, we've been made new in Christ. Paul is telling the Corinthians and telling us that we're to be ambassadors for Christ. Being ambassadors, we'll realize it's also a piece of planting. We're planting the word of God. Then we go into the one that I'm going to speak about today is from the Gospel of Mark, and on a parable. We think that Mark 4, chapter 4, is kind of known as the chapters of parables. It has several parables in that one chapter. But the lectionary reading today is coming from verses 26 to 34. And the first part, which is about the growing of the seed, the sowing the seeds and the secrecy in growing the seeds, is only mentioned in Mark. The other part of it, which is about the mustard seed, we'll find that in Matthew and Luke. But the first one about sowing the seed is only found in Mark. And I think that's where I'm going to sit today for most of it and make the connection. Okay? So let's read the word as it is in Mark chapter 4, starting from verse 26. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scattering seeds on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel of the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come." Hallelujah. Again, Jesus said, "What shall we say about the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shades." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word of God as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything to them. The word of God for the people of God. You know, I don't know if you remember, even you as a child going to school, you did the science projects. And just about everybody might have experienced the one where you're planting. We're going to show what planting is. You get this little seed, you get your milk box, you put some dirt and some holes in it. Do you remember doing that? Even with your children? And then you put the seed and you perch it on the window. And then you watch day after day until eventually it spurts up. You see this little green thing coming out of the ground. It's a miracle. But before that happened, the expectation got high, because every day you go in and look, what's going to happen? When is it going to happen? Is it going to be today? Is it going to be tomorrow? And when it comes, you're thinking, okay, it happened without I doing anything, without me doing anything. It comes all on its own, just like the parable is telling us. It does nothing. The man sleeps night and day, and on its own, it grew. This is just reminding us that, you know, our Jesus, we know it's telling us also Jesus always speaks in parables, but this is not only Jesus in the New Testament speaking parables. That I told you, the entire Ezekiel 17, one of the readings, it's all about a parable. And there are many parables in the Old Testament. And I'm kind of praying about maybe we spend some time in the parables as a series when I come back from vacation. So be praying with me about that. But in this parable, we can see that the second Adam is calling on the first Adam as a gardener. The whole story starts in a garden. The whole story of this Bible starts in a garden and it ends in a garden. But it's now we see the second Adam, Jesus, is bringing out this garden self. I'm a gardener. Didn't Mary thought he was a gardener after the resurrection? But this message in this particular parables, the one about the growing the seed, has some very interesting things about it. He's telling us that if nothing else, he's telling us that we have nothing to do with it. We have nothing to do with the growing. So you must ask yourself, what is it that I have to do? What is my role in this kingdom of God? Because they're both about the kingdom of God. We are kingdom dwellers. And if you haven't realized it right now, we have been called to be sowers of the seed. Every single one of you have been called to be sowers of the seed. And you sow as you go. Doesn't that sound nice? You sow as you go. God doesn't do anything without us. He can, but he has chosen not to do anything about us, because at the end of the day, we're the one going to get the reward. Paul talks about that a lot. We're the one getting the reward. We're the ambassadors. Your reward is in heaven. Your rewards are right here. He calls us to do one thing. Sow the seed, the gospel, the word of God as you go. All of us have somebody in our lives that we can sow the seed to. And sometimes, as I was telling you the past couple of weeks, sometimes we don't even know that person. Sometimes the Holy Spirit just give you a nudge and you step into it. I don't know why the Lord is keeping us in that space. I guess until you all start doing it, we probably won't move from that spot. But he's calling us to step out in faith and engage into what God is putting in front of you. These are relationships. Situations are setting up for you to partake in, to join God in what he's doing. You know, it's not about what you and I do. I just love this metaphor of the seed. Because it's just as follower of Jesus Christ, we are called to scatter the seed, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has called us and he's implanted himself in us, the very seed of his spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in us to do one thing. The purpose is to go spread his gospel, show the love of Jesus Christ to somebody. We spent about 6-7 weeks in rising up and talking about the people in Acts. That's what they were doing. It's by almost by mistake, because they were being prosecuted, and in their running away, they just run, but they can't run with the power. They run with the word. They run with the Spirit of God in them, the word of God in them. So wherever they were scattered, they just don't hunker down. They were preaching the gospel. They were telling them about this man in Nazareth who died and was resurrected. They were talking about Jesus in their actions and in words. That is our call too, to be sowing the seed, the love of Jesus Christ wherever you go. One important piece of this in this message, it takes patience to do this. Not all of them is going to be so, here is the word of God, and repent and believe, boom, now they're rooting for Jesus. Not all of them. Some of them are going to require some time. Time in relationship with them. But he said, first, you had the stock. Then the head came out, and then the full kernel of the head. It takes time. It's a gradual growth. But you don't have to, all you have to do is plant it. Jesus Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, is responsible for the growing. He don't ask you for anything else but to plant it. Be like the little kid, and be the little you who put that seed in that container and left it. Left it and wait expectantly for it to grow. Wait expectantly for it to grow. Get there. He gives you hope. When you're sitting and waiting, you're waiting in hope. You're hoping that it will grow. You're hoping that it will not die. But don't worry about death, because out of death you get life. Jesus himself talked about his own death, that you put it in the ground like a seed going in the ground. You bury it. But while it's buried, life is still happening. Because it rises up. You see that one sprout coming up. He rose. There's life in death. There's some years ago, there was a discovery that in the pyramids, in one of the pyramids, they found a seed been laying there for over 4,000 years. And when they planted, it grew. The minute light touches it, it grew. The light of Jesus Christ, that's our light. The minute you plant the seed, plant the word of God in somebody, that light comes down and touches it. It will grow. The message is very simple. The mustard seed one, it tells you that, you know, there's this tiny things, this tiny seed. It grows so large that, and it's like this tiny thing grow amazingly large. That's what the kingdom of God is doing. Your little seed that you plant in somebody is there, is part of the seeds that will grow the kingdom to its massness that it is capable to under Jesus Christ's grace. All you gotta do is sow the seed. They said, what it said, big things comes in small packages, something like that. Is that the same? Sometimes I mix things up, but think about that. Look at little Jesus. Little Jesus, who would think that tiny little baby Jesus would grow and do something so grand, so large for the world that nobody can do, nobody else can do, giving us salvation. Don't be afraid of being small. It's what you do in between your small and your greatness that counts. And God is calling you to plant some seeds along the way. You know, Oswald Chambers have this saying, Because, you know, all of this, I'm telling you, it's not about you and me. It's the presence of God in our life. But Oswald Chambers have this saying. He says, I want Christ to present Christ in such a way that they don't want to see Jesus in me, but to be hungry for Jesus to be in them. I don't want you to see Jesus in me. I want you to be hungry for what you see a little Jesus in me. I know he has done some remarkable things in and through my life by the power of his Holy Spirit, but that's not what matters. You must be hungry for some of that. It is possible through you. Jesus said, I am going and you will do greater things than I. He wants to use you for his glory. He wants to use you to be kingdom growers. How are we going to be available? We cannot feed the world if we don't want to plant any seeds. Ouch. We cannot feed the world if we don't want to plant any seeds. Because the increase is up to God. The fruit is up to God. The man waited night and day. This is the kind of day and night enduring growth, not any phenomenal explosion, firework bursts with favor, which Jesus appears to the king, compares the kingdom of God. The power of God's presence, my friend, makes little things large. I want to pause here a little bit. Because one of the things I'm trying to do for the next couple of weeks is that we just don't want to be here with the word. We want to see how the word happens in people's lives. So I want to show you a little bit by two testimonies how this scattering the seeds might look like. Come on up, my little Phyllis, my little disciple. We have church every week. We get together in this office. So Phyllis, we've been talking about some experiences you have out there. You might need to be standing in front. I forgot to get a hand mic. Can you share with us what happened? Share with us about this woman who used to come to, you met at the NA meetings, who used to come by here.
A couple years ago when we had our daily NA meetings here, I met a lady, and sometimes I'd go back there just to say hi to her after the meeting was over and just, you know, chit chat. Sometimes she'd get food when we had our little food closet in the nursery. And so a couple times I took her to the bus stop because she lived out in Lehigh, so she could not have to walk so far. And so I kind of lost contact with her because we no longer have the daily meeting. And so last year, and I can't remember how, but we reconnected. And so it was around the same time that we were opening the Wesley Community Food Pantry. So I shared with her that if she, you know, what was in need of food, you know, for help and stuff, that we would be starting it up and, you know, she'd be eligible to get food. Not eligible, but I don't like that word. anyway. So she goes, well, you know, I don't drive. I depend on public transportation, you know, to go everywhere. And so I offered to bring the food to her. So for the last 6 months on Friday, I drive out to her apartment complex and I give her food. Well, the church gives her food. And so she's very grateful and thankful that our church is helping her out.
Yeah. So you've been doing this diligently for these past week. And, you know, we talk about this several times, but tell us what happened with your last visit. Share with the church what happened in the last visit.
Well, if I could go back to maybe the visit before my last visit. Mm-hmm. I get the food out of the car, and she'll sometimes come out to the parking lot, but generally I go to her apartment door, and she knows I'm coming. And So when I was leaving that morning, I reached out and I just went like this to her. I just touched her.
In the mic.
I touched her. And I just kept touching her. I couldn't let go of her. And just tried my best, you know, way to tell her, you know, that God loves her, that she'll get through this. And she said to me, "Would you hug me?" I'm like, "Absolutely, I'll hug you." And again, I felt like this woman, I don't know, maybe when the last time that she had someone touch her, you know, because she lives by herself. And so anyway, our delivery ended, and you know, of course I went back and did my own thing. So this past Friday, or a week ago Friday, I went out to her apartment, and I've been kind of cleaning out my house, and I know this sounds silly, but I found this spoon that I had, and it has an image of a girl, young girl with long hair, and it has a name of a girl, but I'm not going to say the name because, you know, it's kind of, mm-hmm. you know, anyway. So it had the name of this girl whose woman is the same name as the girl that I've been seeing, the woman. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm just going to wrap this up and put it in my car. And when I see her Friday, I'll give it to her. I mean, this spoon's nothing to me, nothing, absolutely nothing. So when I took the food to her, I said, "Oh, Mary," I'm going to call her Mary. "Mary, I have this little gift for you," you know. So I give it to her, and she unwraps the paper towel, and her eyes grew big, and she saw her name on the spoon, and she started to cry. And I'm like, I'm just giving this girl just a little random gift, and she starts to cry and thanks me. I'm almost embarrassed, you know, I don't know. So anyway, I said, "Oh, you know, it's all good. I'm glad you love it." She goes, "I can't wait to get in my house to call my mom to let her know that you've given me a gift." And so anyway, that's.
So what do you think, I'm going to come back and talk to you about that a little bit, but what do you think your next visit would look like?
Well, I always seem to be in a hurry all the time sometimes, you know, just on to the next thing. And so I was thinking about maybe my next visit with her, that maybe I could invite her if she wanted to have like a conversation, just not like drop the food and go, that maybe I should talk to her, you know, just kind of open the door, and maybe she'd like to talk more than the little talking that we do, you know. And that there's a Jesus in her story, and which when I talked about this with Pastor Debbie, you know, there's a Jesus in all our stories. So, some we don't know about yet.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Can you see? Thanks, Phyllis. Can you hear where she was planting seeds? That's a gradual process we're talking about. Just by going week after week, showing the love of God, just telling this person, "I care." That act in itself is a seed being planted. It's a gradual process. She is, you know, when she was telling me and she touched it, I when she said the word touch, I can just remember the woman, the bleeding woman who touched Jesus. And he said, "I can feel the power move out of me. Somebody touched me." When she's talking about that, I can just see that scene playing out in her story. This is how we help people connect Jesus' story to their story. And when she tells me that when she told me that the woman wanted to go tell her mom, the image that came to my mind was with Jesus on the cross. "Woman, this is your son. John, this is your mom." the relationship. It just brings me back to the mother and Jesus. This is how we help folks to see the Jesus in their story. She's planting the seeds every time she went to that house. And now as she's growing and maturing herself, not only the seed is growing, but she is also growing and maturing in her act. This is practical theology, my friends. This is us taking the word out of here and bringing it into our lives. This is what it looks like. It comes in different ways. As we mature, the seeds are being mature. As she's mature, she's reached a stage now that she's ready to sit down and have that conversation and see where else. And somewhere in there, an invitation might be offered. Because remember, Jesus Christ initiates that conversation, that invitation. The road to Emmaus, he was walking, when he was walking with those two after the resurrection, he walked as if he was passing, he was keep going until they invited him to have a meal with them. That's how the grace of God works. He's constantly wooing us, and we have to stop. We're the ones that have to invite him, because God's not going to force his love on you. We plant the seed and he does the invitation to that person. I'm going to let you in a little secret. I used to pray this for the past couple of weeks. I haven't prayed it. I used to pray to the Lord before I come, before I leave the house. And I was like, Lord, just let me know that at least one person heard the word today. I used to pray that, but I haven't prayed it a long time. But that doesn't mean the prayer is not still being said, because Jesus is still interceding for me. So last week, I got this text. Oh, thank you so much for the message. It was so good. And a little while after we got home, I went to Addis to pick up some things. And at the checkout line, I encountered a lady who I got to minister to, and we shared Jesus' love with each other, just as the message says us to do. Praise God and thank you. And then the person goes and said, sometime later, I'll get to tell you all about it. So on Tuesday, when I'm preparing for this message, I remembered this, and I called that person, and I said, tell me about this. Tell me about your encounter. And the person told me what happened. And then the person just went on and told me so many other instances of planting seeds. And I want you to come and tell them about the one on the plane. Please. Yeah, the one when you met the woman on the plane. Speak up in the.
Oh, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. As you well know, I fly back and forth to Missouri. Every time I get on the airplane, I have a chance to share, and I don't know I'm going to share. And I remember a pastor always telling us that Jesus is there before us, he is there before us. And raising sheep, I get a chance to share what God has shown me about raising sheep. I think for me, he uses our experiences to plant those seeds. And I was on the airplane one day, and there was a gentleman sitting next to me, and we got to visiting, and he was telling me about his cousins that were addicted to drugs and this and that and the other. And he asked me what I did, and I told him I raised sheep. And I told him that, was telling him about that I had a video. He'd never seen anything like that before, of the shearer shearing the sheep. Is this the one you're talking about? Yes. So I showed him the video, and that particular sheep that the shearer was shearing is over 350 pounds and has great big horns. He's a beautiful animal. And he was just laying there. And the gentleman said to me, he says, do you drug them? And I said, no, I don't drug them. And but I told him, I said, you know, I said, I don't know what you believe. But I said, you know, the scriptures tell us that when Jesus was led before his accusers, he was like the sheep before the shearer. He said not a word. And when you're shearing sheep, they get very quiet. And so God has used that experience in my life. As Pastor says, Jesus is there before us. And not everybody that comes in my path does not know Jesus, but people, some of them do know Jesus, mm-hmm. but it gives me a chance to share. And you don't, the interesting thing was what I was thinking when Phyllis was talking is also, I don't know who else is around that's listening.
Amen.
That's listening. So you're not just sharing with the one person, but there may be people around that are listening. Well, after we had talked for a little while, and this man had told me that he played guitar in bars and so on, and his family was terribly against that, he reached down in his backpack and he pulled up the biggest Bible I've ever seen. It was awesome. It was awesome. So I really appreciate these opportunities because, you see, being married to my husband, he taught me to hug everybody and to speak to everybody. And so that's what my airplane experiences have been. Many of them, not just that one.
Thank you, sisters. This is what we do. We give testimony of God's in our lives. I want you to notice the two different ways of doing that. Maybe you are like Phyllis, just taking a little time and doing that and not even recognizing that she's planting seed, but we help her see that. The thing that Anne says that was really, I thought was very important and need to hear again. Sometimes when God is calling you into a space, sometimes it's to another believer and sometimes it's not to a believer. But the key is to step. It's our obedience that matters. That's what matters. The growing, what happens in after that, that's between God and that person. Amen? Because in this parable, notice that the organic process of growth is carefully elaborated. The seed sprouts, the first gift of grace. But then it grows in increments, the first stalk, and then the head, and then the full grain of head. Only in that point that the grain is ready to be harvested. Unless these necessary stages happen, there's no growth happening. There's no harvest happening. This is about the survivors of life, my friends. None of us know how to do it overnight. Did you wake up this morning and you're a mathematician or a scientist? No. No, that's the universal law. It will take time for us to get there. So don't feel bad like I'm not there yet. It's okay. She didn't think she was there. But we through the conversation and discipleship conversation, help her see that she has been planting seeds. There are people in your life that you have been planting seeds. Just be hopeful. The potential is there. God is just calling us to be faithful. So my friends, just keep scattering these seeds. That's the simplest way I can tell you this day. Keep, that's what God wants us to do. Never give up. You never know who, how, what you do going to have an impact in somebody else's life. Remember, people are watching too to hear the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is about throwing seeds. Just throw them. Just throw it. Give me the next slide. Just to, you know, in I don't know if you realize that the secular world has taken some of our metaphors, like the cloud. You know the cloud? Microsoft is making millions off of our word, the cloud, which is God. So I'm going to borrow one from them this day. Just do it. Barring Nikes, just do it. Throw those seeds out there, God. God is faithful. God will honor your work. God will honor your every seed that you sow out there. Do you believe that? Because I know this man who was the real gardener, the first and last Adam, and he was planting seeds for 3 years with a few people. And those few 12, they go and plant some more. And this multiplication has been happening since then. And now it's up to us. It's up to us. those who have, all of us who have this power, this seed of His Holy Spirit in us, now is ready to plant it. Go throw it. Just do it. Just do it. That's what God is calling us to do. That's, we are about kingdom work. Because everything, Paul tells us in Corinthians 3:8, I talked to you about it, the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers. That's what Paul says in verse 9. We are co-workers in God's service. You're God's field, God's building. Friends, the scriptures are all about relationship. Those we must guard and nourish, and those we must create and cultivate. Sow the seeds as you go. Sow the seeds as you go. Amen. And if you have more sowing seeds, stories you want to share, just let me know and make it happen. Because God said we must be witnesses to His word. Yes? We are witnesses. So if you have a story and you want to share it anytime this message is going, just put up your hands. I'll make it happen. I am not the high church. You should know me by now. Whatever the Holy Spirit move you to do in this particular space, that's what's going to happen. Amen? All right, let's do it. In the name of Jesus Christ, let's sing us out, sister.
Sends us forth to serve others, not just to go and do for ourselves. Let's stand and sing together. The Spirit sends us forth to serve.
And the truth and the power and the productivity that comes out of the word this morning. Go and sow some seeds and be cultivator in this kingdom. Amen. God be with you until we meet again. May the peace of God carry you. May the love of God nourish you. May the Holy Spirit guide you this week to those fields. You are God's kingdom. You are God's planting ground. You're the building of God. No, go be the God out there of Jesus Christ. Amen. I love you and you can't do anything about it. Thank you.